You're listening to Spreaker Web Radio.
Just like thee, Lord, take my life and mold me in the way you'd have me to be. 'Cause Lord, I would do anything after Calvary. After Calvary, the way you came. After Calvary, the way you shed your precious blood for me, I would be anything that you would have me to be. After what you did for me at Calvary. I would be anything that you would have me be after what you did for me at Calvary.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Brother Paxton, and welcome to the program today. Today we're going to be talking to you about facing fiery trials. Facing fiery trials. We're reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 19 through 25, and here's what the Bible says. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22 tells us, therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Peter gives us some insight into the Christian life. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, he writes, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. You and I today, neighbor, are living in some exciting times. Right before our very eyes, we're seeing prophecy unfold. In the book of Revelation, we are told of a one-world economy and a one-world government, and we're quickly moving in that direction today. With the financial crisis in America, we see how closely tied together the global economy is. In light of this, the President of the United Nations has stated that there needs to be a world financial leader to oversee banking and finance around the world. Oh, these are exciting times for the true believer to be alive, because the signs of the times are telling us that the return of Jesus Christ is near. But for the sinner, these are terrifying times. Times of uncertainty, hopelessness, helplessness, and alarm. The sinner hears of the possibility of a worldwide depression. He hears that Russia is talking about selling nuclear weapons to Venezuela and selling missiles to Iran, and the sinner's heart becomes filled with fear and anxiety. The believer hears these things, and we lift up our head because we know that our redemption is drawing near. Still, we know that there will be some hard times ahead of us. There will be times of tribulation and persecution. We know that the Christians will become targets. Now listen to this, child of God. We know that as Christians, we will become targets of a world gone mad with sin. The apostle tells us that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In 2 Timothy 3:12, I want to read that again because it's a promise, but it's a promise that we don't like to claim. The Apostle Paul tells us that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The question is, how are we going to respond to persecution? Here's the thing. Suffering doesn't make character, it reveals character. I want to say that one more time. Suffering doesn't make character, it reveals character. Who we really are comes out when we are facing the fiery furnace of life's troubles and problems. So my question is, do you know who you are, or do you allow other people to label you? Let me say that again. Do you know who you are, or do you allow other people to label you? Let's look at the three Hebrew men for a moment. These men never forgot who they were, and they did not allow the labels that others had placed on them to define them. In our text, they are referred to by the names they had been given by their Babylonian captors, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You see, by changing their names, the Babylonians were attempting to give them a new identity and a new destiny. It also communicated the idea of ownership. By changing their names, the Babylonians were saying, you may once have belonged to Yahweh, but now you belong to us and to our gods. Boy, how many realize today that there are forces in the present administration in the United States of America that would like to do the same thing to Christians? You might have once belonged to Jesus Christ, but now you belong to us. We are the government. And you'll worship who we say you should worship. Ah, but not so. See, the names that they had been given at birth, their Hebrew names, were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. As was often in the case in those times, these names meant something. Hananiah means the Lord shows grace. Mishael means who is equal to God, or literally, who is what God is. Praise God, let me tell you something. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill, you ain't what God is. Glory be to God. You ain't what God is. Amen. And the name Azariah means the Lord helps. These are some powerful names. You'll find these names in the first chapter of Daniel. They were young men when they were carried from their home in Israel into Babylonian captivity, but they never forgot who they were and who they served. They were in a foreign land, but they knew that Palestine was the promised land. They were in a country that worshipped false gods, but they never forgot that Jehovah was their God. They refused to allow anyone else to define them. My challenge to you, Christian, today, refuse to let anyone else define you. Find your identity in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Babylonians gave the three men the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach means servant of Aku, which was the moon god in the Babylonian pantheon. By giving Hananiah this name, they were trying to redefine him from someone who honored God's grace to someone who served the false god Aku. Meshach means either the shadow of the prince or who is this. His given name was Mishael, a name that declares that there is no God like Jehovah. But the new name tried to redefine him as nothing but a minion of some prince or even as a nobody. Who is this? Abednego means servant of Nego, which was the god of wisdom. Again, the name was an attempt to take away the promise inherent in the name of Azariah, which is that the Lord helps, and label him as a servant of the false god Nego. You see, the Babylonian captors were trying to redefine these three men. They were originally given names that glorified God, but the captors tried to define them as servants of false gods or as nothing more than the shadow of the prince. They were trying to strip them of their God-glorifying identity and make them look and sound like the surrounding culture and religion of Babylon. I hope you're paying attention to these words I'm speaking to you. These three men, however, refused to be redefined. I refuse to be redefined by the culture and the religions of the United States of America today. I am a Christian. I am a born-again believer. I love Jesus Christ with all of my heart. I will live by the words of the Bible. I will preach the words of the Bible. Praise God. I refuse to be redefined. We live in a world today that is constantly trying to define and redefine us. The thing that allowed these three men to stand and to triumph over the fiery furnace was that they never forgot who they were in the Lord. They refused to allow the labels to stick. And when they were facing the fire, they stood, they prevailed, and they came out triumphant because they knew who they were. Hallelujah. Regardless of what anybody else said about them or how anyone else tried to label them, they never forgot who they were. If you and I today, beloved, are going to triumph over the fiery trials that are headed our way, we'd better know who we are in Christ. We'd better know who we are in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we are not defined by the color of our skin. We are not defined by the house that we live in. We are not defined by the car that we drive or how much money we have in the bank. No, we are defined by what thus saith the word of the Lord. We are who he says we are. We can have what he says we can have, and we can do what he says we can do. Praise the name of Jesus. The Babylonians may have changed their names to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but when they looked in the mirror, these three men still saw Hananiah, the Lord is gracious, Mishael, who is equal to God? And Azariah, the Lord helps. When I look into the mirror, beloved, I see someone that the Lord has pulled out of a pit. I see someone who has been given, hallelujah, a new and glorious destiny in Jesus. I see someone who was headed for hell, but now I'm headed for heaven, all because of Calvary. I know who I am. The Chaldeans, another group of captives in Babylon, were jealous of the Jews, and they were looking for ways to persecute and accuse these men. Be advised. When you refuse to allow others to define you, when you refuse to wear the labels that they try to pin on you, you're going to face some persecution. Because the church will not wear the pro-abortion label, and because we will not wear the gay marriage label, the secular media and the liberal courts and legislatures will begin to persecute the church. First, they're going to try to repeal all tax exemptions that the church currently have, and then they will deny tax credits for charitable giving. They will begin to insist that the church apply the same hiring opportunities to gays that demand secular organizations. We'd better know who we are and whose we are when persecution comes. We will not be able to overcome without a vibrant relationship with the Lord. Amen. We're heading for some fiery furnaces and some fiery trials. These three men, very courageous men, never forgot who they were. This is why when the rest of the world was going along to get along, they refused to bow to the golden idol that King Nebuchadnezzar created. So the decree that was established was when the music played in the city, all the people were to fall down, worship the 90-foot-tall golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And anyone who did not fall down and worship would be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. You and I today are living during a time when the world expects us to dance to their music. But as believers, we march to the rhythm of a different drummer. We're not in step with the world. We're not in tune with the world. We are marching to the cadence of the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are not in sync with the rest of this world. The world can bow down to the idol of abortion, but we're not. The world can fall on their faces and embrace the homosexual agenda, but we're not. We will not bow to promiscuity. We will not bow to racism. We will not bow to pornography. We will not bow to secular humanism. We will not bow to a liberal view of Scripture that attempts to strip God's word of its authority. The rest of the world may be doing belly flops in the muck and the mire of an increasingly sinful culture, but we won't bow. However, we need to realize that when we won't bow, we are going to stand out. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would not bow, and with the rest of the city on their faces in the dirt and the animal droppings, these three men stood out like sore thumbs. As a result, certain Chaldeans saw them and turned them in. When we refuse to bow, there will be trials and troubles that will come against us. When Nebuchadnezzar heard that these three Hebrew men would not bow, he became furious and commanded that they be brought to him. He asked them if it was true that they had not bowed. And then he gave them a second chance. He said, in effect, maybe you didn't understand. So let me explain it for you one more time. When you hear the music, fall down and worship, because if you don't, you will be thrown immediately into a fiery furnace. You will not pass go, and you will not collect $200. Then he laid down the challenge. Here's what he asked them. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Don't you just get the feeling today that God loves a challenge? These three Hebrew men knew who they were. The Lord is gracious, looked over at who is equal to God, and they both looked over at the Lord helps. And then someone probably said something like, who is the God who will deliver us from your hands? We're so glad you asked us. Listen. As believers, there will be times when our faith is challenged. There will be times when the world says there's no help for you in the Lord. But the Lord our God is a shield for us, our deliverer, and the lifter up of our head. When the devil says bow or burn, Lift up your head. Don't panic. Don't compromise. Stand your ground in Jesus and watch God work it out. Hallelujah. These three men had a fiery faith. They were prepared to face the fiery furnace because they had a fiery faith, a faith that was fired up. Peter tells us that in the world we will face some fiery trials, but then Peter said to rejoice. Jesus told us that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. When our faith is on fire, we will not be afraid of the fiery trials. When we have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, the fiery trials of this world do not intimidate or frighten us. The opposition you are facing is God's opportunity to show himself strong on your behalf. Don't let your knees buckle under the pressure. He has come to strengthen weak knees. Don't let your faith falter. Don't let your countenance fall. Don't let fear grip your heart. You need to remember who you are. You are a child of the King. You're the sons and daughters of God. You're the bride of Christ. Your heavenly Father created an entire universe out of nothing more than the power of his word. And I know that he cares for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, today, send us the fourth man in the fire. Glory be to God. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that when the king looked, he said, didn't we see? Didn't we cast three men in? But I see four. You see, these three men had not been forsaken. They weren't alone. Sometimes we feel like we're alone in the fire, and we ask, where is God when I hurt? Where is he? He's as close as the mention of his name. Just say the name, Jesus, and he's there. I may have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The truth is that sometimes we see Jesus most clearly when we're in the fire. I don't know that these three men had ever seen the Son of God before, but there he is in the fire with them. Not only that, but others see Jesus in us most clearly when we're in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar didn't see the fourth man until the three men were in the fire. People are watching us, neighbor. They're watching what we're going through. And when we're going through a time of trouble, a terrible trial by fire, they will be able to see whether or not we are truly walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. This is a triumphant faith. A triumphant faith. It's not what the government is going to do for us, but what God wants to do in us, with us, and through us. Fiery trials are coming, and you'd better know who you are. Are you a child of God? You'll never make it without him. We may well be at the beginning of the biggest challenge our country, perhaps the world, has ever known. There are clouds, dark storm clouds, ominous clouds on the horizon of the world economy. There are dark clouds rising over Iran, Venezuela, and North Korea. There is a cancer of moral depravity in the media of America. There are some real problems and challenges that we're going to have to face. And beloved, we'll never make it without Jesus. We'll never make it unless the fourth man is in the furnace with us. But if we will remain faithful, we will come out on the other side of this thing stronger and more blessed than when we went in. Heavenly Father, bless my neighbor, bless my friend today. Father, take these few moments, these few words, and drive them to our hearts like arrows of deliverance and arrows of encouragement today. Father, help us to always remember who we are and whose we are and who we serve in these days, these last days that we're living in. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.